The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
He doesn't stop skating. He'll bet it forward to Foley, back for Eklund. Eklund has an empty net, poked it forward just wide of the goal as he was being checked. Wraparound is blocked by Vegas' defenseman, Theodore. That saved the goal against for William Eklund.
Keep going.
Minute 39 to play in the game. Sharks 3, Vegas 2. Empty net. Oh no, they score! A dump-in bounces to the goal. It beats Nedeljkovic, and this game is tied up. Now the Sharks take it back. Klingberg lost it. Nedeljkovic is going to come way out of the net. This is dangerous. He snapped it forward. Oh no! Empty net! Vegas is going to win as they score. Riley Smith taking advantage of Nedeljkovic, who came way out of the net. And Smith had the empty net. And Nedeljkovic just can't believe it. A good effort for most of the game spoiled on a bouncer to tie the game from Eichel with an extra attacker on, and then a turnover in a one-on-one situation in overtime. Riley Smith wins it for Vegas.
That seems like a lifetime ago for the San Jose Sharks, everyone. That was game one of the year, a game in which the Sharks blew a lead and ended up losing in overtime to the Vegas Golden Knights, their opponents for tonight's game. And as we take a look at the standings overall, I will point out that the Vegas Golden Knights, despite being one of the early season favorites to contend for the Stanley Cup, only have one more point than San Jose, and actually they have two fewer wins. They are 10-6-8 on the year with 28 points, 5-4-4 at home, 5-2-4 away. Of course, those eight overtime and or shootout losses, those are very, very telling in terms of how their season has gone. They're 3-3-4 in their last 10, but compare that to the Sharks, 12-10-3, they are 8-4-3, one of those three overtime losses coming to the Vegas Golden Knights on the first night of the season, and the second game of the season was an overtime loss to the Anaheim Ducks, but 8-4-3 at home, 4-6-0 on the road, 1-1 in the shootout, 6-4-0 in their last 10 coming off a win last night. Sharks are the better team right now. They are not the favorite, but I would say that overall, I think the Sharks, especially after their 0-4-2 start, are the team that I would consider better. They're also a team that's not in the midst of a 3-3-4 stretch. They are 6-4-0. So many things to take into account when we look at tonight's game for San Jose. And I think the most important one is the team is coming off a win once again, whereas the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they fell 4-1 last night to Montreal. Did not have a very good game, did not get much in the way of offense, and find themselves in a interesting situation heading up into this game tonight against the Sharks. I'm sure that there's no panic inside that dressing room, but they're probably all wondering why they're tied in points with Seattle, trailing the Kings and trailing the Ducks while being chased down by the Sharks. I'm sure the Edmonton Oilers right now are wondering why they are trailing the Sharks. I'm sure Calgary is wondering why they are at the bottom of the division. And that's just where the NHL season is right now. I'll also point out to you that Winnipeg only has 24 points at this point. They are trailing Chicago and Utah. I don't think anybody's that surprised by the Stars and the Avs being at the top, and Minnesota is looking like the team that I expected them to be. I just didn't expect Winnipeg to be in sixth. And then we look at the Metro, and I guess seeing the Flyers, the Islanders, and the Rangers all towards the bottom is relatively surprising. Penguins have come back to earth, but they're still a good team, 4-3-3 in their last 10. I don't think there's any surprise that the Caps, the Canes, and the Devils are towards the top, and the Devils have actually done a good job of absorbing injury. And then we go to the Atlantic, and we see Toronto and Florida towards the bottom of the division. And then Detroit is in fifth. Boston, they've, you know, not been as hot. They're 5-5-0 in their last 10, including a loss to the Sharks. Ottawa, not bad. They beat the Sharks. Montreal and Tampa. I think the greater thing to take away right now is that how wild this start to the NHL season has been. Will these trends continue? I don't know. I suppose they could. I suppose they could not. There's a lot of things we could look at, but I think we have to go back and talk about where the Sharks have been since they had that 0-4-2 start to the season. They have since posted 12 wins, 6 losses, and 1 overtime loss or shootout loss. That is remarkable, by the way. That is not a stretch that we have grown accustomed to for the San Jose Sharks in any way, shape, or form in recent years. And then we start talking about what they've been able to do with 9 wins in the calendar month of November. That is absolutely phenomenal. And if you need some recounting, they beat Colorado. They beat Seattle. They beat Winnipeg. They beat Florida. They beat Minnesota. They beat Utah. They beat LA. They beat Boston. And they beat Vancouver. That's 9. And they have a chance for a 10th tonight, a 10th win in November, which I think for San Jose would be absolutely massive. I don't think it's winning the Stanley Cup. I don't think it's clinching a playoff berth, but it would be a punctuation mark on a month where they have put a punctuation mark on their start of the season. We are past the quarter mark, right? We've played 25 games at this point. San Jose knows that they have to keep it up if they want to be, you know, a team that is out on this sort of a rate for the rest of the year. If they want to be in the conversation, of which they firmly are. So right now, San Jose is looking at this game as yet trying to make another statement. Now for Vegas, they're of the mindset, and I remember when Sharks teams were like this, and we've seen it with Florida, we've seen it with Tampa, we've seen it with Colorado, we've seen it with Edmonton, and on and on and on. I don't think there's a lot of panic because they recognize that they have the amount of talent, they have the amount of experience where ultimately they are likely to figure it out. That's why there's not panic. Now, when a team like the Sharks loses 9 straight to start the year last year or double digits the year prior, then yeah, there's a little bit of panic, and you can even argue that it's too late to panic. But the Sharks are in an interesting position where they had a massive correction and have not done it off of truly extended winning streaks. They had a 4-game win streak. That was great. Their longest since the 21-22 season, but otherwise it's just been relative consistency. You know, winning homestands, that type of thing. And that's why I think they're probably going to have a pretty good shot to win this game tonight. Vegas is not as young as San Jose. They are a team that is, I think, in the midst of trying to figure things out. But San Jose is riding in with a lot of confidence, certainly much more than what Vegas faced in game number 1 of the year. And San Jose probably wants to get a little bit of, I wouldn't say payback, but I'll say they want to continue the corrective trend that they showed over the last month compared to what they did when they opened up the season back on October 9th in one of the most painful losses we can remember in this year. And what's fun about that is that the Sharks, 10 losses, 3 overtime losses, of the 13 losses they've suffered this year, 6 of them, roughly half, were the first 6 games of the year. That shows you how well they've played since then. But I guess if I have a greater point out of all of this, it's just looking back and thinking about how much has changed since that first game of the year when the Sharks let in a lot of goals, and that was something they did early and often in the season, even when they were starting to win games. But the defense has been much, much better. The net minding has been much, much better. Macklin Celebrini has rapidly evolved into one of the best players in the league. Will Smith is a nearly point-per-game player who is consistently scoring. William Eklund is still racking up the points. Finally got back on the score sheet with a goal, but he's back healthy. He's playing very, very well. Yaroslav Askarov is one of the best goalies in the NHL. He's had a great month of November. Everything has been going very well for the Sharks, and I'd like it to continue that way, obviously, but it's up to them. You know, they have played pretty well in back-to-backs up to this point of the season, so I'm very curious to see how they do against this Vegas team that, again, is not as young as they used to be, but have not dealt with these specific Sharks. So all things to take into consideration as we get ready for tonight's game. I did want to get into some of the post-game sound that I didn't have a chance to get into this morning when I recorded Morning Tide from last night, because I was so excited to talk about the game. But Adam Gaudette had some good stuff to say when he met with us after the game.
I don't think it's been that long.
Not too long, but it just seemed like there was an extra like emphasis that we're having.
Oh, it's before. Just we were playing a good game, and you know, it was a big goal, so everybody's excited. I think, you know, no matter who it was, we all would have celebrated like that.
That was Adam Gaudette, and they were asking him, like, oh, did you, you know, have a fun, smiley celebration because it had been a while since you had scored? And he said, I don't think it had been that long, to which it hadn't. But, yeah, man, I mean, Gaudette, I think, kind of underlines the type of guys that are in San Jose right now. They're having fun. They are loose. They are not supposed to be winning as many games as they are, and they're having fun with it. They are absolutely in a pressure-free situation, and it's one of the things that I've talked to a couple of guys up to this point of the season to where they said nobody wants to play the San Jose Sharks in a playoff series because San Jose will have absolutely no pressure on them. They will be, you know, far out of where they were supposed to be this season. So I think that's one of the things that's playing into this. They can just have fun. They don't have to be overly concerned. They don't have to be overly worried about how they're perceived. They know that they are, quote unquote, ahead of schedule the way they're playing. Now, that I think they're still very serious. They're taking the game seriously. They're playing hard. They're doing the little things. But, yeah, when you have a call go your way, have some fun with it.
Yeah, I thought we played well. Those guys are a lot of fun to play with. And, you know, we were close to each other, supported each other. And we had a lot of scoring chances there. And, you know, on the defensive side, I felt like we did our job and we got pucks out and when we needed to. And, you know, I think the whole team as a whole played well and they're doing the little things right. And, you know, that's how you win games.
And it's so huge to hear him talking about doing the little things right beyond just, yeah, I scored a goal. He recognizes what the team is doing. He sees that the team is coming together. He talks about the guys having fun. These are all the right words. Not that there are quote unquote wrong words, but sometimes when you hear the guys talking about the fun they're having out loud, it allows you to understand just where this team is coming from. Because the last couple of years for the San Jose Sharks, even though Gaudette wasn't here, it's been so just, I don't know, morose, I guess, for lack of a better term, because you just had to deal with loss after loss. And it's brutal. It's punishing. The hard work doesn't get rewarded. You feel like it's, you know, not pointless. I don't think that's the right word, but it's just like, it feels like no matter what you do, you're not going to come up with the right solution. And so for all these guys collectively to be coming up with the right solutions, to be coming up with the right answers at different points of the game, responding to the different moments, I have to imagine that makes them all feel pretty good. And that should make them feel pretty good because they are playing at a high level, in my opinion. They're doing things right and ultimately getting rewarded for them, which is going to lead to, I think, having a better mindset going forward and getting deeper into the year, and hopefully will lead to them keeping these good times rolling. I don't know if they will always be winning as much as they have in the month of November, but I do feel that there is a relative sustainability about this Sharks team that was not there a year ago.
I think we've just been focused on recovering pucks and supporting each other and battling harder and getting pucks to the net and, you know, kind of dumbing it down a little and simplify it and get pucks to the net. We needed to support each other, be closer to each other and win battles. And I thought the past couple of games we've been doing a good job of that.
And Adam Gaudette is a veteran of this league. He knows what it takes to win. Obviously, he'd previously been part of that Vancouver roster, so I'm so sure he was excited to get a win. But, you know, again, I hear the things that he's saying. I hear that which he is identifying, and it's a lot of positivity. And again, negative emotions, negative outcomes, they weigh on teams, they weigh on players, they weigh on everyone in the post-game dressing room when they're meeting with the media. I can't tell you how light it is compared to the past because these guys are coming in with an expectation to win, but at the same time, it's a relatively low pressure situation. So they kind of get the best of both worlds, an extremely high level of a competitive nature while they have a hang loose attitude. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Let's get into some of the post-game commentary from Will Eklund, who finally broke his goalless streak.
Yes, always nice scoring. You know, I think I've been, you know, been having chances before, but haven't scored, so it's nice to get that one.
And William Eklund is the kind of guy who, once he gets going, he gets going. I'm not going to be shocked at all if he ends up with another goal tonight against Vegas, but right now, William Eklund was part of a successful power play for the San Jose Sharks last night, and I know we can look back at that game against Colorado and say that there was nothing positive to take away from it, but I actually think there was, because the power play seemed to look a little bit more cohesive, seemed to have a better idea of what they were trying to figure out, and that was carried over into the game yesterday against Vancouver, to where they didn't obviously play like a team that was blown out 6-0 in the game prior, but they played like a team that had a very clear and concise idea of what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I think so. You know, good power plays. They shoot a lot of pucks and get a lot of chances out of that. So I think we've been better at, you know, retrieving pucks after we shoot and helping out with each other. And, you know, that's why we score on the power play.
Retrieving pucks after they shoot and miss. I think the creation of second chance opportunities is the biggest change in the last couple of games on that Sharks power play, because previously it was one opportunity and then out of the zone and way too much cycling, not enough shooting. And then if they did shoot again, it was blocked or it was a miss and it was out of the zone. And then when they were regathering once again, a successful power play has to be able to maintain that O-zone possession, because either the boxer diamond or, you know, 1-3 is going to collapse. And I know it was a 5-on-3 when they did score, but you got to continue that possession to create tired legs, to create space and opportunities. Eventually, you will find your gap. It's a simple numbers game, and when it's 5-on-4 versus 5-on-5, or when it's 5-on-3 as well, you will find the space. You will find the time. You will find the opportunity. And maybe it's also a greater level of patience that we've seen from San Jose that's finally converting into knowing how to use that patience, because there were times previously where there was too much cycling of the puck, and it seemed like the team did not know how to respond and find, you know, a little bit of that aggression. But, you know, now it seems like the last couple of games, they've been able to be patient, but also create opportunities. Now, I would still like this team to be more aggressive, particularly on the power play, because I feel like they suppress about 10% more shots on goal that they could have by passing it too much, because they are very much a team first mentality. But, you know, a little bit more selfishness, a little bit more aggression, a little bit more grind, and I think they're going to be able to find more success on the power play because they have the personnel, right? They have Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, William Eklund. They've got, you know, Tyler Toffoli out there. They've got Alex Wenberg. You go down the list. These are talented players. They've had Klingberg out there. They've had Orlov. These guys know how to get it done. It's a matter of developing a little bit more of that lethal killer mentality, because we saw it yesterday from Will Smith, and we saw it from William Eklund. Macklin Celebrini out there distributing the puck. These are all things that you want to see. Now, on the flip side of that, the penalty kill continues to be phenomenal. And even if the Sharks have lost their streak of games where they had not given up a penalty kill goal, they have still been very, very good. And yes, you are going to give up power play goals. You are going to see the team score against you. But I think that right now they have the confidence to go into any situation and find a way to shut down the opposition, or at least not turn it into a game where they're getting dominated by the other team's power play. A big part of that has been the play of Colin Graf. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and he was asked after the game, you know, what are the reasons that the kill has been so successful?
I mean, our goalies are playing great. That's the number one. Goalies always got to be your best PKer, and, you know, they've been shutting it down back there for a good stretch now, and I think it's just trying to limit the stuff to the outside. I mean, you obviously got to give something up, especially when they got the other team's best players, best offensive players on the ice, and, you know, they game plan too, and they got a strategy. But I think if we can limit shots to, you know, 25, 20, 30 feet and further out, then, you know, you got a better chance for a goalie to save them.
And the first thing he does is credit the goalies, because that is the team first mentality that I was talking about. And it's not a bad thing at all. These guys all want to give everybody else their flowers. They want them to get the credit. They want everybody to bask in the glory. These guys don't want to take the credit themselves. They want to acknowledge constantly that it is a team game and that everybody is on the team and everyone plays a hand in winning. I know that we talk about the, you know, the first, second, and third stars. We talk about the goalies. We talk about the actual literal superstars out there on the ice, but it is a team game. It takes everyone the ability to walk away with 2 points at the end of the game. It's not just one player. There might be individual plays that may decide the game, but throughout the entirety of those 60 minutes, it's the full squad. That said, Graf's overall ability does deserve some recognition, as he had a very tough challenge in yesterday's game.
Yeah, I felt like I was out there against Hughes like every time. He kept skating around. He's obviously a super skilled player, really shifty, and you know, you just want to be as patient as you can. It's obviously hard, and there's some of the probably the two best D in the world for a reason, and you know, it's just trying to frustrate them and don't give them anything easy. So you know, that's the goal.
And we have talked a lot about how good the Sharks goalies have been, but I think that one of the rectification in the Sharks overall ability to not bleed goals like they were earlier is the fact that they're limiting the amount of grade A's, they're shuttling things to the outside, they're dictating more of the terms of the game, which is something that good teams do. When I see that, that's why I believe it is relatively sustainable, because they're figuring out how to control games. It's not just relying on superstars. It's not just relying on amazing netminders. Yes, are those going to play a factor in your wins? Of course. That's how you win in the NHL. Your superstars play like superstars. Your stud goalies play like stud goalies. But the San Jose Sharks right now are figuring it out in real time, and they've obviously had a great month of November. They won 7 at home. They have been showing everyone just how dangerous they have the potential to be. And now they have one more time before the month comes to a close. We're out of time. Pre-game 6:30, go time 7 as the Sharks visit Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.